This oral history compilation tape on the construction of the Glazewell Bridge was produced from original interviews conducted by Frank Hymans and Martha and Sarah. The project was commissioned by the RTA Environment and Community Policy Branch in December 2000. The opinions in the oral history interview tapes are those of the individuals concerned and do not necessarily represent in whole or in part the position of the New South Wales Roads and Traffic Authority.
The Glazewell Bridge, I still see it as something quite wonderful, really. It's a very beautiful bridge. It certainly is a major impact on the landscape, but either you have a major impact or you don't. It's, it's definitely a statement. There's no question about its integrity as a fine civil engineering structure. It certainly tells us about some very grand visions for Sydney and about a whole era of post-war planning and an approach to the engineering works which were part of that planning. That certainly makes a statement in that way. It tells us something about the period and the way things were viewed at that time.
The Glazewell Bridge is undoubtedly a major Sydney Harbour landmark, and many people were involved with its planning, design and construction. Ray Wedgwood, now General Manager Technical Services at RTA, was involved with the bridge from early in its construction.
Sydney is a unique city with its topography in terms of the harbour particularly, and even other waterways that need to be crossed. If you go back in time, originally they were crossed by boat and then for people, and then barges and punts for cars. And all the time there's been that, as with any city, that growth, that development, that need to improve the ability of people's mobility. Glazewell Bridge was very much the linchpin of north, south, east, west axis of the city at the time it was designed and built. That axis has probably moved westward now in terms of where people want to go to get from A to B is related to where they live, where they work.
Sandy McKenzie was the Department of Main Roads' resident engineer on the Glazewell Bridge.
Before the first Glazewell Bridge was built, there was a ferry between Abbotsford and Gladesville. It would have been hauled by a rope, as rope ferries are still done today.
Laurie Stewart was a surveyor for the Department of Main Roads. He remembers the very first bridge at Gladesville.
It was a structure built, I think, in the 1880s. It was two lanes only, that is, one lane in each direction it was meant to be. It had a tramway across it. When the tram went across, of course, the cars and trucks had to go behind it. There wasn't room beside. There was no pedestrian footway, whatever. The public could travel free of charge on the tram and then when they were finished on the bus to get across the bridge. Police officers would be there at the bridge every morning and would stop the ride-bound traffic and give the two full lanes for city-bound traffic for periods, and then they would stop that briefly and let a few vehicles trickle from the city toward ride and then two lanes back on city-bound. That was how they had to contend with traffic until the new bridge was opened.
There was a opening swing span, which provided for just one lane of traffic and not very much clearance for the colliers which plied between Newcastle and the Mortlake gasworks. Because the clearance was so small, these colliers always went through against the tide, and this sometimes necessitated them going through at peak hours.
How much clearance would there have been on each side of this, one of those colliers as it passed through the opening span?
I think it was about 6 inches each side.
Brian Pearson is a former DMR's chief engineer, Bridges, and is currently a member of RTA's Heritage Committee. He was the supervising engineer on the Glazewell Bridge project.
The swing span was often hit by the colliers travelling up the river. And the effect of this was that it was very difficult to close the swing span at times. And although it could be closed sufficiently for road traffic to use the bridge, the tram tracks wouldn't line up. So the tramways people got very upset. The road traffic was using the bridge, but the trams couldn't. We had to jack the whole bridge longitudinally to close it the extra few inches to get the tracks lined up.
Local residents had become exasperated by problems encountered with the bridge. One such person was Lynn Joyce, then a Riverside Girls High School student.
It opened sideways to let boats through, and I remember on hot summer's nights, my father would be coming home from working in the city, and they would open the bridge and they wouldn't be able to get it closed again because of the heat making the metal expand. So quite often they used to have to call the little tugboat ferries from the city to come and spray water on the bridge so that the metal would retract and they were able to close the bridge again. And on those particular occasions, Dad would get home at about midnight and we'd all be waiting there very excited for him to come home and tell us the story about the major event that happened at the end of the day.